Well, I think I'll read now the end of my poem, my notorious poem, Litany, which is in two columns and double columns, and I've been asked many times how it should be read, and in fact I had no particular way in mind because my own way of reading is very sloppy and I assumed everybody was the same as me. I did make a recording of it with another poet in which we read simultaneously so that you could get only a few words, but I, on the other hand, I don't... just because that's the way I hear things myself. On the other hand, I don't mind it's being read as separate, two separate parallel poems either. So I'll read the... I'll read a little bit of the left and then a little bit of the right. Or say that between the effort and the screws, some scorpion intruded, and to top it off, a storm interfered with the rescue efforts, blurring them. What then? What do you make of the red traffic light turning green to admit a few cars farther on in the shuffle when night binds the tubing with rain and you can see yourself only as you used to be in college? Make you mind, Valentine, feeling fine too, if consumed with energy to be mad, and go on confessing even if it means that the sought-after absolution be rescinded after a time, and those who looked silently at you for a while direct their gaze downward to the sunlit tundra, and you go out to the party as toes slip into shoes, and I am not just left on the corner, but am as the traveling salesman of a joke, with a permanent hard-on and no luck, and all these samples in this here suitcase. Want to see 'em? Otherwise, why, we don't know too much. Fellow was over here recently from the British Isles, wanted to see something of how the life goes on. He never made it back. Well, some of us enjoy that way, too, as though we knew life was a picnic or parade, down under the hassles and disrobing, the dust. But now, well, we pretend to see otherwise, into the great blue eyes of concrete that best our city in the time of industry, and so panic slowly in the vegetal heart of things until told to disconnect the operation. No wonder so many of us get discouraged, know not where to turn. Some certified nut will try to tell you it's poetry. It's extraordinary, it makes a great deal of sense. But watch out, or he'll start with some new notion or other and switch to both, leaving you wiser and not emptier, though standing on the edge of a hill. We have to worry about systems and devices. There is no energy here, no spleen either. We have to take over the sewer plans, otherwise the coursing, clear water, planes upon planes of it, will have its day and disappear. Same goes for business. Hold up in some office skyscraper. It's often busy to predict the future for business plans, but try doing it from down in the street and see how far it gets you. You really have to sequester yourself to see how far you have come, but I'm not going to talk about that. I'm fairly well pleased with the way you and I have come around the hill, ignoring and then anointing its edge, even if we felt it keenly in the back wind. You were a secretary at first, until it came time to believe you, and then the black man replaced your headlights with fuel. You seemed to grow from no place. And now, calm down like a Corinthian column, you grow and grow, scaling the high plinths of the sky. The truth is that nowhere in Europe, India, or America is this a straight line drawn vertically from one point to another so as to connect them, and in so doing provide a lot of fun and refreshment for the students so they may never feel insecure again. Such a line may exist, but it would be horizontal like the Northwest Passage and not connect people up with anything else. It's a wager and emptiness, and though warm and the color of baked loaves in the sun, it has no idea of nourishment or where you should go. Its idea is that the Latin text might also have existed in German or be so close it doesn't matter anymore, and the cottage be shut up at the end of summer and be there come early or mid-spring. But this presupposes a helpless mankind pigeonholed with a rival deity so that neither can make the hands of the clock move, and it all goes down in darkness with the sun. To the supreme moment, then, but it spreads out in sullenness over a vast tidal plain to dissipate in what it is not even sure is horizon, is nothing but images. Earthly inadequacy is indescribable, and heavenly satisfaction needs no description, but between them, hovering like Satan on airless wing, is the matter at hand. The essence of it is that all love is intuitive, creative, and that we can't hear it. Others, the tenor, the doctor, want us to walk about on it to see how we feel about it before they attempt anything. Yet in whose house are we? Must we not sit quietly, for we would not do this at home? A splattering of trumpets against the very high pockmarked wall, and a forgetting of spiny palm trees, and it is over for us all, not just us. And yet on the inside it was doomed to happen again, over and over, like a wave on a beach that thinks it's had this tremendous idea, coming to crash on the beach like that. And it's true, it has. Yet others have gone before, and still others will follow. And far from undermining the spiciness of this individual act, this knowledge plants a seed of eternal endeavor for fear of happening just once, and goes on its way. And yet the originality should not deter our vision from the drain that absorbs, night and day, all our equations, makes us brittle, emancipated, not men in a word. Dying of fright in the violet night, you come to understand how it looked to the ancestors and what there was about it that moved them, and are come no closer to the divine riddle which is aging, so beautiful in the eternal honey of the sun, and spurs us on to a higher pitch of elocution that the company will not buy, and so back to our grandstand seat with a feeling of having mended the contrary principles with the catgut of abstract, sleek ideas that come only once in the night to be born and are gone forever after, leaving their trace after the stitches have been removed. But who is to say they are traces of what really went on and not today's palimpsest? For what is remarkable about our chronic reverie, a watch that is always too slow or too fast, is the lively sense of accomplishment that halos it from afar. There is no need to approach closely. It will be done from here and work out better, you'll see. Oh, once a long time ago in towns and cities the line was different. We lived indifferently then, but perhaps more accurately, and once it was over we knew what to do with it. We carried out our neighbors' lives, and they had our instructions about where to go. We lived inadequately, blushing, but we knew we were on the outside, and that only one thing prevented us from traveling inward, and that thing was our knowledge of how little we imagined everything. As though a door were enough to stop the average person, and he would just curl up on the doormat forever. But this person turned out to be mass-produced. He was funny and knew about elegance, how to dress for an occasion, yet the error that incites us to duplication was missing, or inexact. We have not spoken to him. It should be outrageous to do so, yet to ignore him will bring no light. But to get it right, we might ask this once, how goes it down there? What objects have you found recently? So the giant slabs of material came to be and precious little else, and no information about them, but that was all right for the present century. Later on we'd see how it might be in some other epoch, but for the time being it was neither your nor the population's concern, and may have glittered as it declined, but for now it would have to do, as any magic is the right kind at the right time. There is no soothsaying, yet it happens in rows, wind rows you call them, in your far country. There are no trade winds. The ocean, too, is someone's idea. The pleasant banter of the elements cannot disguise this basically thin concept, nor remove us from contemplation of it, and that is the best answer that may precede the question. Until later, when the shooting fires light up the sides of the volcano, and each task and catastrophe become clear and succinct. By that time, kindness will have replaced effort. Why keep on seating the chairs when the future is night and no one knows what he wants? It would probably be best, though, to hang on to these words, if only for the rhyme. Little enough, but later on at the summit, it won't matter so much that they fled like arrows from the taut string of a restrained consciousness, only that they mattered. For the present, our not knowing delights them. Probably they won't be devoured by the lions like the others, but be released after a certain time. Meanwhile, keep careful count of the rows of windows overlooking the deep blue sky behind the factory. We'll need them. That's the end of the left-hand column, and the right-hand finishes thus. But you were leaving. Some months ago, I got an offer from Columbia Tape Club, Terre Haute, Ind, where I could buy one tape and get another free. I accepted the deal, paid for one tape, and chose a free one. But since I've been repeatedly billed for my free tape, I've written them several times, but can't straighten it out. Would you try? I'll just read a couple more recent ones.